Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whenever you're listening to this wonderful commentary watch that we're going to be doing. And of course, as usual, this is Carl from ISF and Deviant Legion. And with me is my wonderful co-host, Rachel. Say hello, Rachel.
Hello to Rachel and all of our friendly friends out there that are hopefully going to watch this movie with us today.
Well, good. So yesterday, or last night, of course, if you're listening to this 2 weeks from now, that doesn't matter. But we had a recent show on Mel Brooks, and I decided that we would do a commentary watch on what I consider his forgotten film. This dates from 1970. It is the film that he did after The Producers. It's based on a Russian novel. I thought it was a folktale when I wrote up the little blurb, but it's actually a novel. It's basically the setup for almost any treasure chase movie you've ever seen, such as it's a mad world and Treasure Hunt and all those other films like this. And it's basically the story of 12 chairs, of which one of them has a fortune inside of it. And they were taken by the Russian government when the government took over from the czars. So that's the story you have in front of you. This particular film stars Ron Moody, who starred as Fagin in Oliver. And then also you have Mel Brooks in it. You have a very young Frank Langella, and also one of Mel Brooks's compatriots that were in many of his films, and that's Dom DeLuise, who plays a Russian priest, and we'll just leave it at that. Be aware, this isn't as manic as most of the films that Mel Brooks has done, so it's a little more set in plot. And it's a fun movie. And when we rated our films, I rated this my fourth favorite Mel Brooks film behind The Producers and Young Frankenstein, of course, what I consider the greatest comedy of all time, and that would be Blazing Saddles. So Rachel, you don't know this film. You've never seen this before, have you?
Well, to be really, really honest, I can't say that I've consciously seen it. Now, if I get into it and start recognizing some things, I'll let you know, because a lot of the movies people think I haven't seen, I actually have. I just didn't know that's what I was watching at the time.
Yeah.
But you did say this one's a really, really hard one to find anywhere. So it is more than likely I have not seen it, but don't be surprised if I'm like, oh, wait, because I also have a thing for Dom DeLuise. I mean, that guy, just put him in anything. He's fucking hilarious.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, I am. So far as we know, I am the virgin on this watch, at least the movie virgin. The two kids I have otherwise.
Never mind. We won't go there.
TMI.
So on all of the things that I shared, I gave you the link to this. This is on OKRU. If you don't see the link in front of you, you want to put in 12 chairs, 1970, hit search, and then go over and say videos, and then scroll down, and you'll see one with like 68 views. The one thing about OKRU, the less views it has, the more likely it's in English. Okay? That's just the way it is.
Well, and I, just like I do every time, because I know we are in the modern age and a lot of us are super paranoid, I've seen Mr. Robot too. I just want to let everybody know, like I always do, here's our disclaimer. Any sort of streaming service or anything that we suggest to you guys, like OK.RU, you know, Just Watch, any of that we suggest in any platform that we watch any of our media on, We have checked and thoroughly checked and re-vetted and made sure that they are absolutely legal. Maybe skirting the gray area, but totally legal. So this is not pirated. This is not torrented. It's basically just Russian YouTube, and we know how to get there.
Exactly. And I signed up for it in English. So then I just pass it along to everyone. So, and by the way, okay.ru, thank you, David Whittington of ISF, because he's the one that introduced me to this particular platform, and it is wonderful. You can find so many things on it that you can't find elsewhere. So there you go. All right, so are we ready for this?
I'm queued up to double lot, so I already got my full screen up, and I took my meds for the day. I did not make a movie snack, though.
Aw, sorry about that.
You know what? It's okay. I've got some pizza in there. I might have one of my slaves, children, go heat me up some pizza. I'm kidding.
There you go.
They love to help. So, all right. Well, I think that, sans movie snack, that aside, we are all good to go whenever you are ready to do our countdown fun times.
Okay. And we will go from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. I am just adjusting my volume right now, and we're about ready to go. So here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Click. All right, maybe
and
we need a trigger seizure warning here.
UMC Pictures.
Yes, a Sydney Glazer production.
Yep. Must be donuts.
All right. So I had to pull my headphones about half off because I don't have my headset anymore. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Good deal.
So guess what? There's a cross there. I guess it's religious.
Uh-oh. Are there any horror elements here? I don't know.
No.
Damn. Are you sure? That grandma's kind of scary looking. Or should I call them babushkas?
Babushka. You might want to turn down your volume a little bit.
Yeah, that's my problem with not having subtitles. I can't hear shit. Is that better, by the way?
That's better.
Okay. Okay, so we've got a dying babushka.
And now the son-in-law comes in. And that is Ron Moody. For anyone that...
I love
that,
him.
Yes.
Dude, he is such a 70s cutie. Like, seriously. It's
in the hands of God now. And you know who that is, don't you, with the fake beard?
Well, fuck yeah. I mean, he's like a third of the size he normally is, but that's still my dom there. Courage. Shove.
Go ahead. Now, this is pretty indicative of the humor. Right?
Yeah, I was about to say, this is definitely Brooke's humor right here with the gate. Courage. So, I mean, if you're looking at the furnishings of their home, though, like, they've obviously got money for back in the day, especially being in Russia.
Yeah. Well, that comes into play, trust me. That comes into play. Because there are flashbacks.
He's doing splendidly. The doctor says he has 4 feet in a week.
Jesus.
Hmm.
Yeah, so.
She is a little scary looking. I got to give you that. Okay, you, again, turn it down. You got to turn it down.
Like, I've literally, it's so low down I almost can't.
Yeah, that's good. I love her facial expressions, though. One of my favorite gags is coming up. How could you do such a thing? Notice what he's got in his hand, because you're not noticing, and that's part of the gag.
I mean, it looks like a rubber stamp.
Yeah? Yeah, you got it. ₹50,000. I love her look. Look at her look. It's beautiful.
Well, he's really into, you know, facial acting and stuff, so.
Yes. Which shows you a little difference here. I love that gag.
Right.
Okay, the song. You can turn it up for the song. I don't care. I'm turning it up for the song. For the best, expect the worst. Now, Mel Brooks wrote the lyrics to this, but do you know who wrote the music? Now, they say that John Morris did, but he did not. Any idea?
Yeah, obviously I have no idea.
This is Brahms' Hungarian Dance number 4. Dilfin Petrov, who wrote the novel. Again, I love the faces, too. This was filmed in Yugoslavia.
Yeah,
you
probably
a lot
of
Yugoslavian names. I'm dancing. I don't know about you, but I'm doing my little dance in the chair with the legs and everything. It's scary.
What?
I left an eye and a leg at the Winter Palace.
Of course.
And of course, this is a wonderful joke that he's used many times. It's a miracle. I'm saying this to you, Miss Rachel. Has Frank Langella ever looked more handsome?
Probably not.
By the way, you know who he's married to, right?
No idea.
Whoopi Goldberg.
To who?
Whoopi Goldberg.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know Whoopi was married.
Yep. They've been together for numerous years. Mark Tangle's Lyman and Trotsky Street. You have to know a little bit of Russian history to understand some of the humor here, folks.
Brooks is definitely into the weird Russian humor.
And Jewish, of course. A lot of that comes through, too. Because he's Russian Jewish.
Yeah. How did anybody ever get shit swept with brooms like that, by the way?
That's a good question.
It seems so ineffective. Maybe that's why he's taking a nap. Broom's not going to work, so why should I?
Right. By the way, you know who he is. Now you can tell.
Oh. There we go.
He's young.
I know. It's so weird. They actually, like, had to gray his hair.
Yeah. Comrade. You're a couple seconds behind me.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. Initially, you were a couple of seconds ahead of me.
It's an old age home. Very old ladies. They dip it in. They have a little bowl of porridge and...
But notice that even Brooks in this, he's reserved.
Yeah, I thought it was a hotel.
He's what?
Sitting down and doing a scene.
Yeah, that is weird. Usually, like, you don't ever see him sitting down in his movies. He's always standing up and doing shit.
Well, this is one thing that I want to stress to people that are watching this. This is not a typical Mel Brooks film. This is one of two films where he tried to do something different. Again, you may want to turn down, Judy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm about to go back on mute.
Now, Langella, of course, is a con man. And he becomes the main figure here, along with Ron Moody. And of course,
yeah, you can.
DeLuise.
I mean, we kind of so figured Langella was a con.
And notice, even though that Langella is a con man, you know, he likes the people he's around. Now, this will give you an idea.
He doesn't hurt anybody.
No, he doesn't. Now, this gives you background on Moody.
Yeah.
Now, when we did the show on Mel Brooks, we were asked who the major contributor was, you know, to him. I love what you said, but for me, and this brings it out, it's John Morris. John Morris being the composer. The music is just wonderful in this movie. It's just lovely. And he brings all that Russian angst to it.
Yeah, and I get that. But I don't really see the music in Mel Brooks movies as big of an element as some of the other
I'm tired.
I said I don't see it as big of one.
Mm-hmm. To me, I think it's very, very big, particularly with the songs, particularly. And, of course, a lot of that has to do with his lyrics. But the songs in all the films I find really good. That's basically a remake of a Spike Jones joke.
Yeah, also one that he uses pretty frequently.
Mm-hmm. The beauty of Rod Moody in this is his reactions.
Absolutely.
Moody was much more of a theater actor than he was a film actor. He got a couple of Tonys. He actually got an Oscar also for all of it. But he was much more comfortable on the stage than he was on film. But here they give him a real chance to do his expression, which are just wonderful. You know, as I look at Langella there, I can see him, why they cast him as Dracula.
Yeah.
Take a look at that. Without the hair, short in the hair.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Unfortunately, it's not one of the better ones, but that's beside the point.
It happens. At least he was real pretty when he was doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things about this film, it is somewhat plot-heavy, which is much different than most. So most of his films, most of Brooks' films.
Yeah, and for a lot of my silence, I'm trying to pay attention to what's going on.
Right. Martha Moody died in 2015. He was 91 years old at the time. He definitely did some British TV. But basically, these are the two films that he's known for. 12 Chairs and Oliver.
It's just crazy because he was so good. But I guess, like you said, he was more into stage acting than being on camera.
No, he was in the Avengers. He did, he did things like Gunsmoke. Did a really decent little movie, Legend of the Werewolf, which people don't know too much. That's a fun little film. He did a couple of Disney films, particularly Unidentified Flying Oddball. Not one of the better ones. But probably a film you need to check out for Ron Moody is a film called Wrong is Right, which is a political satire starring Sean Connery. And he plays an Arab king in that. Very good.
That could be interesting.
Oh, and he's in a Pet Shop Boys video. Those facial expressions. And of course, you know, Mel Brooks does overact a little bit, as we all expect. You with us, Rachel?
Yes, sorry, I had to step out for a moment.
How shall I tell
them? I am here.
You will tell them that you are cousin Michael from Kiev, and you will say that all the Voroganovs are dead and that you are willing to pay hard rubles for something to remember.
Again, I hate to say this. You got to put the volume down.
I did just turn it. I'm putting you back on mute. I'm sorry.
Okay. So you're watching this without any sound at all?
No, I am watching this on mute.
Okay.
I'm putting my phone on mute so that I can actually hear the movie, but I have to turn it down when I take you off of mute. So forgive me, I'm not commenting as much.
Okay. And here you've got the first segment in Speed. Very, very much like an old silent movie thing, like the Keystone Cops. There was an article on Facebook about how people don't know who the Keystone Cops are anymore. They were silent film and early sound. And there he is without the beard. And of course, what we've got here now, of course, is physical comedy. And just wonderful. He does it very simple with speeded up camera, or actually slowed down camera, so it looks speeded up.
Yeah, prop comedy. It's always great.
Oh, absolutely. But don't you see that even if that's the case, this is still very, very much tame, I guess, tame or however, whatever words you would want to say for Brooks.
Well, absolutely. This seems like one of his first films versus, you know, him
Well, it is.
Collaborating with his giant Jewish ego and going just off the wall.
Now, the original novel, from what I understand, what's happening here, it was a real, like, satire on the church, on the government, and that sort of thing. And actually, the novel was banned in Russia for a number of years. But it became such a underground type thing that they kept it in the plot by telling the story. And that's sort of how I ran across it. Because I ran across this story in like folktales, a folktales book, but it's not a folktale.
Now, are you sure that it isn't a folktale that somebody adapted into a book? Because, I mean, I've read a lot of those.
That's the other thing. It could very well be that, too.
Because I know I've heard this story before, and you know I don't just go around reading random Russian literature. So
no.
I'm thinking this is one of those folktale adaptation things. Like, I mean, come on. What's the guy that did, like, Wicked and all that?
Stephen Schwartz.
Yeah, I mean, he takes the thematic elements of the story and, you know, kind of makes his own thing, but still he kept with the story. So,
right.
I mean.
I guess Bureau of China and Silverware, paintings and tapestries. Bureaus and dressers.
That seems to be a really big joke, especially in like European humor, is the Bureau of Bureaus and all of the bureaucracy and everything.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
That's something that I noticed a lot because I didn't get to grow up watching regular cartoons. I watched, like, Asterix and Obelix. And, man, anytime they had to do something, it was like running through the crazy bureaucrat's building. And you've got to go to the 50th floor, back down to the second floor, this, you know, particular piece of paper from here and that. And, yeah, I've always thought that that was a lovely, subtle jab that I appreciate in a lot of humor events.
Don't waste paper. Even Dom DeLuise is young.
Yeah, I was noticing that. It's like there's certain people who exist in the world that were never young, and then you see them in a movie like this, and you're like, hold on.
What?
What happened here?
Yeah.
Like the first time I saw Jack Nicholson with a full head of hair, I was like, wait a second. This isn't Jack Nicholson. You're fucking with me. Now, granted, I had to go really far back in his career.
Well, I remember Jack Nicholson with hair. Okay, I am 25 years old. Older than you. So.
Yeah, well, exactly. You got a little bit of that age thing on me. I had to watch a movie from before I was born, and you know, by the time he did One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in the 70s, he was already losing a good bit of his hair. So, like I said, I had to go way back.
Well, you know, I mean, these days you look at Frank Langella, he's had that silver hair for ages, right? And a wonderful actor. But to see him like this, it's like, that's interesting.
This is true.
Of course, DeLuise doesn't realize that Langella is a con man.
Of course not. Does Langella realize that Louise is a con man at this point? He's just got the church behind him.
By the way, you know how you say a movie is of certain things? This is a movie about rubber stamps.
Yeah, I was noticing that. I was waiting for another one to show up to see if I could confirm my theory, but you know I'm the one that picks out the weird shit in movies. Like, this one's about bathrobes, and this guy's scared of bald people. And what's with all the packing?
You know, I actually got a phone call from Steven, who knows that I love The Nickel Ride, and I said we did a commentary, and that you came up with that. And he chuckled. He thought that was very funny.
Oh, good. I'm glad I could break through his super tough exterior, because that guy, he's a tough nut to crack, man.
Yeah, he is. But we love him.
Yeah, well, speak for yourself. I don't know him that well. I like you, all right.
I do.
I don't know if I love you yet, but we'll see. Laugh at some more of my jokes and stroke my ego, and you can be my new best friend, but... Yeah, and since we're in a slightly quieter part of the movie, not that the whole thing isn't kind of quiet for me, I am so sorry about my technical difficulties today. Like I've told people, I'm on the headset that you can literally hear my neighbor fart from inside his house across the street on this thing. It picks up everything. And so even though I'm watching it on my laptop and I'm actually sitting a few feet away from it, I have it on the lowest setting almost possible. I mean, my volume's down at like 10, and it's still too loud for you guys, and I am so sorry. As soon as I get the money worked up, I am getting a headset to take care of these issues.
Moscow Museum of Furniture.
And you know that's like a real fucking thing, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure it is, too. And now, this story has been adapted several times by Russian television into miniseries, at least two times I know of, probably three. So this is very, very much
super Russian.
Yes, to say the least. But this is wonderful interaction between the two of them. And the thing is, they're both theater actors at this point. So they're playing it really well.
Well, I mean, I'm loving it so far, and, I mean, you know, I have my my history with the theater, so I can usually tell somebody who's got some training outside of what they give you in normal Hollywood training. Like, you know, I've seen enough videos and movies about Hollywood and, you know, especially vintage Hollywood to know that, like you discovered the other day, that Karen Black did have training, but it was the kind of training that any young, you know, actress got in Hollywood. Yeah, right. And it wasn't, you know, real formal professional outside of you're here on the studio lot, so you're going to have to go ahead and take voice and training classes. Like, there's really a difference in the way, I don't know, I guess maybe in the gravitas that these people have from having been on stage and, like, knowing that they can do this shit.
Just how he puts his arm around Moody to calm him and things like that. It's subtle. And I keep going back to that. But I have to. Because
That's the part of Mel Brooks' films that most people don't notice because of all of the zaniness that's going on in the forefront. People don't tend to notice that he's actually really, I mean, I'm saying it's him. Maybe he just picks, like, the best actors ever, but he's really into the subtle human interactions, like the way a friend would, you know, throw their arm across someone to comfort them and things like that. Like, the physical interactions between people beyond just the funny ones where he's, you know, speeding up and slowing down the camera and shit are actually very human. They're very real. And that's, I think, one of the things that makes Mel Brooks movies so interesting is because they are so far-fetched, even this being his, quote, you know, subdued movie. Like, he probably smoked a couple bowls before this one or something. It's still really funny. It's really zany. There's a lot of zaniness going on. But this one is enough that you can actually recognize. But if you start watching through the rest of his movies, I mean, just like the barest glance or the, you know, touch of a hand, they're in it.
Well, a good example of that is Blazing Saddles and Sheriff Bart and the Waco Kid and how they interact.
Yep.
That's a very real relationship.
Exactly. And that's something that, again, you don't have a chance to focus on and recognize when that's happening because you're paying attention to what else is going on, which is, you know, insanity, like we're watching right now. You don't notice these things. I notice those things because that's what makes things more believable. So you always, even with your craziest, you know, and your craziest laws and all that, like, it's still best to start out with a grain of truth. And I think that grain of truth for Mel Brooks is in his physical reactions aside from comedy. That's the grain of truth, is that I think another reason that he uses a lot of the same actors and collaborators is because they do work so well together. They seem like they actually have a relationship outside of what they're just doing for the movie.
Bella Louise, who is in several of his films.
Like, pretty much all of them, except for, I think, like, one. Well, there you go. That's the snow.
He's not in The Producers, and he's not in Blazing Saddles. But I think he's in everything else.
Well, and in Dom's defense, it's possible that he was busy filming Belushi, good Lord,
filming,
why can't I think
else.
Of it? What? Yes, filming
something else. There you
actually
go.
Don Bluth films. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, All Dogs Go to Heaven and We're Back and all that. He might have been busy, and those movies are important too, so.
I want to grovel at your feet. You know, it's a combination of overacting and acting. You've got a couple people here who are supposed to overact. Deloise, Moody. Though Moody is much more reserved than Deloise and Mel Brooks. But the other ones play it straight, and this works in this context. He did another film, which I talk about.
Nobody's taking my chance.
Which is called Life Stinks. And that is my least favorite of his films because the zaniness and the drama don't work together. But in this case, it does.
Absolutely.
The butter. And again, here we have plot. Now, I have to say this, but that is a fake beard. That's got to be a fake. Oh, Jesus. Forgot about the toothbrush. Now Ron Moody, who is a theater actor in a movie, is going to play a theater actor who doesn't know what they're doing. Okay, let me tell you something. That ain't friggin' easy. Try to be a singer who has to do a role where they sing, but not well. Not easy. At all.
Nope.
And of course, you know that none of these chairs have the diamonds in them.
I assumed so.
Somebody must have gone to the Jews before.
There were never any jewels in this market. Just put in by the furniture maker. One set of 12 chairs crafted for I am Lord Eleanor by Christopher
Allen. Okay. You need to meet again, my dear. Great gag. By the way, you know that's in a pool. That's not, you can tell. It's not an actual lake. But nonetheless.
Yeah, studio magic for you, right?
Mm-hmm. And Monticello can't let him drown. Langella, for as much of a con man as he is, he's not a bad soul, and neither is Moody.
I told you, he doesn't hurt people. He's just a grifter.
No. Borscht, okay? Now, I don't know. I love borscht. I haven't made borscht in ages. But I love borscht. Did you ever have borscht? Beet soup? With sour cream?
Nope.
No? If we ever get together, I'll make you some. By the way, if you haven't realized, whenever he has a white suit on, it's a... Well, no, that's not Moody. Never mind. Forgot that. Now, personally, I don't know who you're rooting for, but I wouldn't be rooting for Dom DeLuise.
Yeah, I usually don't root for religious institutions to begin with.
Again, very subtle, but there. So we're not saying a whole lot here because we want you to see the scene and get an idea of what's happening. A lot of the jokes is setting up what's going to happen and then the aftermath. You don't see the actual act.
Yep.
So this whole scene, I Don't Want to Live, this brings back a film that DeLuise did later with his friend Burt Reynolds called The End, where Burt Reynolds decides he wants to kill himself with the aid of Dom DeLuise. Have you ever seen that film, Rach?
No, I have not.
Very funny film and very dark. Dostoevsky. Roll your eyes. Great. You know, you don't talk about acting generally in films with Mel Brooks, but the acting here is really good.
I don't know why more people don't talk about it. Mel Brooks always picks fantastic actors.
You know, and much of what he did later was he picked his colleague people like Ron Carey and various people to do roles, and they were comic actors. These are more dramatic actors doing a more dramatic piece, and in this case it works. As I said before, Life Stinks, it doesn't work, but it works here. I think one of the reasons is that the bars make sense in terms of the character.
Well, absolutely. People used to do things like that, you know, sew their valuables up into things, and it would be a hole. Everybody in town's going to do what they can to find that money because it's for hard times, obviously.
And of course, cons are very important in Mel Brooks. You know, I am so talented and they is so dumb. The idea is that you're taking advantage of people, and that happens in most of his films, if not all. Again, scenes like this that are quiet.
It's where all the best parts come out.
Yeah. The energy that Moody brings when he goes manic is really good.
Yeah, I mean, you can always see it kind of just like bubbling under there that he's just waiting.
And a lot of it, again, is his expressions. I mean, I brought that up earlier, that it's his expressions. It's wonderful stuff. So do you have any idea of what the final joke is? You should basically start getting an idea.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Eloise, love him. Absolutely love that man. I almost forgot about this thing, the circus. Just like any chase, Combi, you have to have the final chase.
And the final fight.
Angela being the smarter of the two. I forgot you won't be rooting for him. And he's putting himself in a position here.
Yep.
Again, boys, oh boys. Did that joke again? You know, you talk about shots of the landscape and that. This is a beautiful sequence. Literally is.
In all of its bleakness.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the bleakness is always Russian. But this is Yugoslavia in 1970. Do you know Woody Allen's Love and Death? Have you ever seen that?
I don't think so.
So Love and Death is Woody Allen's sort of comic masterpiece based on Bergman. This is a comic masterpiece based on Eisenstein, who was a Russian director. The train tracks and that and those scenes very, very much go back to War and Peace and various other Eisenstein films, but particularly War and Peace. Trust me, I've been to buffets. I've done that.
Yeah, I don't do buffets.
The very, very subtle jab at chess here, which, of course, was a Russian sport. And I love that game. I love chess. Used to play when I was a kid.
I watched The Queen's Gambit. Does that count?
Damn good series. Really good series.
So is the chair actually going to be the one back at her house?
You'll see. Even the physical comedy is muted to a certain degree. Maybe not so much, but it's much more realistic. There's no punching of horses. Of course.
Nice.
His facial expressions are beautiful.
Fantastic.
Just that beautiful explosion. Of course, this is Russian literature. If you think this is going to have a happy ending, are you out of your mind?
Yeah, like there's no way. I was going to say there's no way it's happy.
Tell me you did not see that coming.
Not quite.
By the way, we are right near the end of this, and this has one of the most satisfying endings I've ever seen. You'll see.
Okay, so I was actually talking a second ago, but I forgot to take myself off of mute. No, I did kind of see where the ending was going. Like, I knew the diamonds weren't going to be there. I knew the jewels weren't going to be there. I knew that they were going to go through all of the chairs and all of Russia to find this ship, and it wasn't going to be there. That's why I was guessing, you know, it's probably, you know, there in the house at the beginning, and it's going to be one of those, like, alchemist things where it's like, oh, but at least you saw the pyramids, huh? But no, I appreciated that. That was a very satisfying ending.
So let me ask you a question. When was the last time you saw a Mel Brooks film where you actually tear up at the end? Every time I see that, I tear up.
I don't know.
I literally, and you know, my eyes are watering. I love that ending. Best ending ever. Well, maybe second best, but yeah, just a great ending. I love that film. You know, and certainly for all of you that are listening and have watched our watched the film with our commentary, to me, this is the most, I think, in a lot of ways, heartfelt film that he does, that he did. This is the one with the most heart. I don't think there's another one even comes close. What do you think, Rach?
Not at all. Yeah, I mean, like, if we're talking about heartfelt, yeah, that's definitely hands down his most sentimental flick.
And I can't, you know, everybody in there, I think, does a great job from the smallest roles. And these are actors. A lot of these actors were Yugoslavian actors who I've never heard of, never seen in another film, like the grandmother.
Well, I was saying earlier that he probably just used a lot of locals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the best way to get cheap extras for your movie is just be like, hey, you local folk want to get a movie real
actors.
Quick?
I'm talking to people who had definite fits, like the grandma at the beginning.
Well,
you know,
but that's what I'm saying. That doesn't mean that there wasn't someone in local small town Yugoslavia that couldn't act like a dying grandmother for a minute. I mean,
well, right? You know, or the local theater group, or whatever the case would be. Yeah,
exactly. So, and I see Mel Brooks doing that a lot. Like in my head, I see that's how he would do things. I'm not sure if that's actually the case, but I see him going to a place like Yugoslavia and being like, "Hey, y'all motherfuckers want to be in a movie? We got like." Craft services, and I'll probably give you like $50 or something, and they're going to be like, yay! So I just see him being like that, schmoozing people.
Well, you know, the other thing too is this was actually pretty well received when it premiered, but because of the producers, it didn't do as well monetarily. Because people were sort of like, what's this? You know, based on a Russian folktale that's sad and yeah, it's got farce in it. But, you know, and so I think over the years, it's just been forgotten. And I do believe it's one of the four best films he ever did. I don't think there's any question. Now that you've
seen it. It's a really good one. For the most part.
How would you rate it with the films that you've seen of Mel Brooks?
I'm withholding any further commentary on the movie until I get a chance to fully watch it. You do realize I did end up having to watch like half the movie with pretty much no sound.
Yeah, understood.
Yeah,
okay.
So, and again, I apologize for that, guys. Sorry I was so quiet, but this headset is insane. Like the last time you told me to get off of or to put myself back on mute, I didn't even realize I wasn't on mute, and the volume was so low that I already couldn't hear it. So, yeah, I have to get a headset. This is ridiculous. Normally, I'm not watching a movie in the background when I'm using it. We're doing our shows and stuff, like our interviews, and it's not an issue, but today was not cool, man.
Well, maybe we'll
work
at one point, but for now, at least we've got it out there that people can see it and understand how wonderful this film is. Seriously.
Absolutely. No, and I do,
and
from everything that I've seen, which was most of it, of course, but from all of it, like, I do think it's a great film, and it's a great story just on its own. You could do so many things with it, so I think Mel did a great job.
Absolutely. And again, we got a lot of like comments from the ISF posting on this, saying, "Oh my God, you found this movie! Well, we should champion it. Tell everyone about this film. Tell everyone
Absolutely.
To watch it. We've got a way to watch it now. Seriously."
Exactly. And I am excited about that because that is a good one. You know, from everything that I saw, I'm going to love it even more when I can get, like, really in-depth with it.
No, but even watching it silent, you know, and you didn't hear the dialogue. Just the facial expression and the wonderful subtle acting that these characters do, that Langella and Moody particularly do. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, it was. It was absolutely fantastic. And that was what I was going to mention is I did have to watch a lot of the movie kind of, you know, on silent, especially for my deaf ass. Like, I live by my subtitles, I swear to you. So even for somebody who didn't get a chance to, like, fully immerse in the movie, and I apologize for that, guys. I'm usually much better at the experience than that. Even just watching it with, like, no sound, I could tell what was going on. Now, I missed a lot of the funnier, quippier things, which is one of the things I love about Mel Brooks so much is, God, he has got the quippiest banter. And I love that. So I did miss a good portion of that. But even then, it wasn't actually necessary. I mean, you guys didn't hear me most of the time. I was laughing in the background. But, yeah, like, I'd watch it, and they'd start going in, like, super speed, and you're like, you know something fucked up's about to happen. Yes.
No, and again, I think this is a real testament to Lon Moody and Frank Langella, because they don't just carry the movie. They are the movie. They're the heart of the movie. And
oh,
it's
absolutely.
That relationship that is a beautiful relationship. And that ending just kills me. It just shows how much they bonded. And that to me is what the movie's about and what the original novel is about. And the
exactly.
book tale or whatever you
want. What is that word? Camaraderie. Ha ha, do you
or comradeship or whatever you want to call it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I think, and if I'm pushing too quickly, let me know, Carl, but I think this is about the time that we normally start wrapping things up.
Yes, it is, actually.
Okay, good. Can I, Carl?
Oh, abso-friggin-lutely. Go for it. We wanted you to do it last night, but you were raptured.
Oh, I didn't mean that. Oh, okay. Oh, my Lord. Guys, oh Jesus. Okay, let me take the headphones off and put it on speakerphone because I'm afraid I'd blow your brains out if I did this any other way.
Okay.
Okay, so can you guys hear me all right?
Absolutely, go for it.
And you're legit wanting me to do this, Carl.
Well, no. I was talking about why don't you tell us what's happening on Tuesday?
Okay, that's what I thought we were going for, but yeah. Anyway, it's actually much better for me to have the headphones off. Okay, so I just, and this is news for you too, Carl, I just, while we were watching the movie, got absolute confirmation for Tuesday.
Right.
Meaning that on Tuesday, we're about to have my good-ass homebro, Kenan Walker, who is, not just an amazing up-and-coming actor. He's been in a lot of stuff. Actually got his start. I think his very first film that he was in, it was an uncredited role as one of the students, but he was in Scream 2. And that's actually where he met and became friends with, of all people, David Arquette. So Kenan Walker has just confirmed that he is going to come on our show and talk to us about all things Kenan Walker on Tuesday. And like I said, he is not just an actor. He is not just a promoter. He is not just a loving and doting father and supportive member of his Memphis community. If you ever want to get a glimpse of what this guy does on the regular when he's not out acting and shit in Hollywood, he is the duck master at the Grand Peabody Hotel in Memphis. And it is one of the coolest and also most adorable shows you will ever see. And he's going to tell us all about that, all about his acting career, all about what he's got coming up, because apparently there is some big shit on the line right now. So I am very, very stoked. He is officially confirmed Tuesday, 7:00 Central, 8 Eastern.
There you go. So that's really good news. And we have another show next week that you are involved in and that you're heading, which is a week from today. So tell us about that.
Wow, two shows in 1 week with Rachel as a host? My goodness, you guys must like me or something. Okay, so we all you're so sweet. So we all know that whenever we feel like doing something random, we kind of throw it down the rabbit hole and Rachel gets it. Recently, we on the rabbit hole have been doing kind of a musical series, but, you know, we're not going to be regular about it, of course. You know, we've had our novelty songs. We've had our great cover songs. We've had two episodes of cover songs, actually, and novelty episodes upcoming in the future. We just haven't nailed down dates yet. But Saturday is one of the ones that is most specialist and closest to my little heart of hearts, and that would be One Hit Wonders. So Saturday, TC, Carl, and I will be doing an introspective look at one-hit wonders through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and also discussing how the introduction of MTV changed not only the face and sound of music, but the way that music was perceived. So I am really stoked. There's going to be some interesting conversation, and let me tell you, some even better music. So strap yourselves in for this one, guys, because we are going in the Wayback Machine.
Absolutely. And that's the 7th. The 6th, the previous day, Adam is going to be doing Cathode Ray Mission, and they're going to be doing a Doctor Who continuity show, which specifically will focus on the Whittaker and Capaldi seasons. So they'll be doing that.
Yeah. And I will say from personal experience, no spoilers here, guys, but this guy has some really interesting thoughts on the Capaldi and Whittaker transfer. And I'm just going to say they are not going where you think they would. So that is going to be a show that even I, on my off day, am going to tune in to listen to. So you're a Doctor Who fan. That guy knows his shit.
Okay, and it has also been confirmed that on the 10th of August, director of Reuben and Ed, Trent Harris, will be joining us. And along with Trent, we're going to have Sam Lesson. Sam, when we did the original thing, Sam came on and is a big fan and knows Trent. So he'll also be joining us. And Trent has a new movie out, which is a direct sequel to Reuben and Ed. And that is coming out, actually, I believe, mid-August or late August. So we'll get the news on that, and that will be the 10th. So that's what we have upcoming for Deviant Legion. And that's basically what I've got so far. We have some other things that are happening. We'll have
in
some major announcements,
as it were.
We'll have some major announcements about the Legion, most probably by the end of August, because we are working on some things for the Legion, and we'll get to that later.
Hashtag shit's a poppin', man.
Yeah, exactly. And again, we want to particularly give a shout out to Limes Marshall and to Ice Creams, and please check out his YouTube channel, his Instagram, everything. Limes, of course, we did a show on Thursday, The Prodigal Son Returns, and he'll be doing. He's got some special stuff happening with his network, and so we're all rooting for Limes. So definitely give Limes a like and subscribe to his YouTube channel, and that's Ice Creams. I let you do this because you're so good at it, Rachel.
All right. That would be I Screams, the letter I-S-C-R-E-E-M-Z, I Screams. You can find him on YouTube. That's where most of his content is, and it isn't just horror content. If you're fiending for some rants like we've been over the past number of days, just so you know, you can find the Precious Limes rants on his YouTube channel. He is also super, super big on Instagram. So Ice Creams is all up in Instagram business. So if you're one of those like modern people that does like the TikToks and the Instagrams and shit, you can find it there. And just to go over it one more time, it is I-S-C-R-E-E-M-Z or Z, as his Canadian ass likes to say. And yeah, you can find him everywhere. You should find him everywhere. You should like and subscribe to all of his stuff, because Ice Creams as a network is now doing some amazing, like, mind-blowing, literally changing the future of horror kind of stuff right now. And all I can say is we got, I think we're allowed to talk about it now.
Let's hold it up a little bit.
But that's it. He did say on the show that it's an app, but that's all we can say. It's amazing. Right. It's going to be so fun. I'm so excited. Yes. So that's Limes. And then, of course, you can always find any of us on Facebook or, you can go to Deviant Legion if you want to. You just look us up in the Google bar.
Incredibly Strange Films.
Yes, I do forget about that sometimes. Incredibly Strange Films is one of the Facebook groups that we represent. So you can find us there. You can always find Carl there. He comments a lot more than I do. But yeah, find us on Facebook and all the things and wonderful stuff like that. And no, beyond that, that's what I got to say.
Absolutely. So I think what we will do is we will leave you to the rest of your evening, afternoon, or morning, because we have 90 seconds now. So I think it's time to say good night.
Good night, everybody. All right.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening and watching. Okay, and we'll see you this Tuesday.
All righty. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.